Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
This is now we're still in the Christ clutter in the calendar and we've worked through the calendar issues. We've been working through now the thought life. Remember that one of the beautiful things of God is that he says, you know, if you abide in my word, abide in me, you'll know the truth. Mm-hmm. And he said the truth will set you free.
Right.
And there's lots of discussion in scripture about freedom. And when you think of freedom at the personal level, it's really about that I'm not anxious. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about something. I'm not burdened by something, but I'm enjoying the beautiful life of God today. Mm-hmm. And generally, that means that's happening in the middle of a difficult place of life, because the world's full of difficulty. I have to keep helping people understand something, because there's a little bit, there's an interesting, let's say, approach toward how we think Christian life should be. Mm-hmm. And that is one, because I'm a Christian and because, you know, the church says God is in control, then everything should be good. I shouldn't experience the trouble, because he has the power to not have that happen to me. That's a misunderstanding of truth, that, you know, God doesn't say, I pull you out of the world.
Right. He says, in this world, you will have trouble, but I've overcome the world.
Yeah, you're going to have trouble, and I'm sending you into that place. So that's a false thought. The other one is that if I just do the right things, mm-hmm. then God will never have me experience trouble. Mm-hmm. And when I do, the first thing people do is, what did I do wrong?
Right.
And I got to fix this. And if I could just try harder, do something different, mm-hmm. or I think I am doing something different and I'm doing the right things, how come I'm still experiencing trouble? Because I thought that if I do the right things, mm-hmm. then God's going to make sure I don't have trouble. And you built this kind of a works, what I call a works mentality.
Right. Which, if we're honest with ourselves, most of us who have struggled with that mentality at all, it comes back to our relationship with our earthly father.
Yes. Yeah.
We have trained ourselves. We have been trained, however you want to look at it, in dealing in earthly relationships with the fact that if I do these things, then I am good. I am accepted. I am, you know, all will go well. And when I don't, it does not, you know.
That's right. Then we're surprised, you know, when we have trouble, mm-hmm. and how come, and now that the search is on, okay, what happened? What did I do wrong? How come, why doesn't God take care of me? And you get caught up in a spiral, when God says, well, you're in the world, the world's controlled by Satan. Mm-hmm. I'm superior to that. My kingdom is where it can overcome it. Walk with me in the kingdom. God says, I want to lead you to freedom, mm-hmm. To enjoy life in spite of trouble.
Right.
In spite of adversity, in spite of
right these, in the midst of it, right?
Yeah. You know, Lynn and I were, you know, we took some time off to celebrate our 54th wedding anniversary, and went up in the mountains, and which we love to do, and just had a great time of... we would take our journals and we'd get our Bibles, and we were walking through, you know, personal time with God, and then we'd talk about it and process it and bring our clutter, what we call our clutter list.
Mm-hmm.
Here are all the things that are happening. And the one thing that we kind of saw, and it's just one of those moments where it kind of pops out at you, is our life is surrounded by Amalekites. And Amalekites are just people that are irrational. Doing things to come against you and cause you all kinds of trouble, because they're either involved, they do have some power, they have influence, or they're controlling something, and it's just kind of, we look through it and say, man, we got a lot of those right now. We got a lot of that situation, you know, and our thought did not go to, well, we shouldn't have it. Actually, it was like, you know, that's just, we think actually one of the things God tells us is, hey, the world's going to get more difficult because of the self-centeredness that is now being promoted and used. And because of that, you're going to have more Amalekites everywhere, and don't be surprised by it.
Right.
But he said, I can give you freedom.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of it. And that's what we're talking about here is if we have freedom in our calendar, margin, we're not pushed, we're not rushed, we're enjoying Sabbath, we're enjoying a variety of things. I was just talking to a couple days ago, and they were reminded of Sabbath.
Such an important concept and gift.
Yeah. And the question was, okay, I'm supposed to rest on Sabbath, but they didn't really know what that looked like for them.
Right.
Okay, well, let God guide you into now enjoying the Sabbath and having freedom on the Sabbath, because your calendar, and they admitted, we have to be faithful now.
Mm-hmm.
God showed us this.
Right.
And we're supposed to do something different on our Sundays. We're committed to that because the calendar is going to, and they talked about, our calendar is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Now process so that you could change the calendar, but if you're occupied in your mind with all of these things that burden you, you haven't really gone to freedom. You've allowed potentially freedom to happen.
Right.
But you don't have freedom. And so he says, I want to lead you to freedom. Well, one of the things we've talked about in the last several days on the podcast is this issue of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, because conflict.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that, again, I refer to it as Amalekites, but they're harming you. They're not righteous. They're unjust. They're coming against you. You have disagreement, you're debating, you're arguing, God says, well, let me help you understand, I can resolve the relationship with a couple of steps to ultimately get to, it doesn't burden you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he says the key is don't set up your own system of that. And one of the things that the Christian world has kind of put out there is, in order to have freedom, you have to reconcile with everybody. And you got to work at it, including maybe you should just accept what they're doing. And God says, well, that's not true because, and this is interesting, because your heart won't let it. It's interesting. The soul, the heart, sorry, you can say all day long, okay, fine. Okay, I'll give up. I give up. Okay, do what you want. Do what you want. I'll surrender what you want. Your heart doesn't buy it. It says, wait a minute. And this is interesting because
not true freedom.
It's not really true freedom because God says, see, your heart is driven by justice. And the heart is the soul, but I built within you to drive toward justice.
Right, which is part of us being made in his image,
because
he is a just God.
And I have to, justice will stand. You can't overlook justice, but I can resolve it for you if you have a heart to go. And it may not be reconciliation. The reason's why, because it takes two parties. Mm-hmm. And the evidence is Christ himself.
Right.
What did he do? I forgave everybody at the cross. Done deal, once and for all. I sat down at the right hand of the Father. He said, it is finished. Okay, so is everybody forgiven? Yes. Is everybody reconciled?
No.
Okay, how come?
Because you have to choose to step into that.
Yeah, it takes two parties, and the truth has to be processed in order to reconcile. So Christ says, I offer you the truth. And when I gave forgiveness, think about this. Christ says, I gave you the opportunity to now have relationship with me because the prior opportunity you couldn't get there because the requirement was perfection. Mm-hmm. He said, I took it out of the way. All you have to do now is believe in the imperfect state. And because of that, I cover you with my righteousness and you now can be reconciled. So forgiveness is just the opening of the door in order to have the possibility of reconciliation. But he says, and if you're not willing to process the truth and receive me as Lord and Savior, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I can't alter that. So you'll live you'll live eternally not reconciled with me. I have a heart for you to be reconciled. But in order for me to enjoy heaven with the people that do reconcile to me, I don't let that draw away my joy. It's sadness for him, but it doesn't destroy his joy. So he said, I can resolve this for you and come to a conclusion based on where the other party is willing to go. And I got to show you this. So we talked a couple times ago about if the burden is you recognize, I harmed somebody, I offended somebody. Hey, you go and talk it through with them and say, I'm so sorry. What I did wasn't right. I want to set this straight. Would you forgive me? And then let's resolve it. You know. And by the way, if you say, would you forgive me? And they say no, it's just shifted back to them.
Right.
You've done your part, and now they got a burden that they have to process. And you're not going to be reconciled with them, not because of what you did, interesting enough. It's because you attempted in a proper way to, would you accept that I admit what I did wasn't right, and I'd like to make this right, and please forgive me, and let's go settle it. If they say no, well, you've done your part, and the burden now is on them. The other way is if somebody's offended you, you first of all said, well, make sure you have forgiveness in your heart, because on the same basis I forgave you, which is my nature, Christ speaking, you have the ability to allow the possibility of reconciliation without the anger, without the you're going to have to do this to settle it. I'm coming against you. I have a lot of negative thoughts about it. I'm burdened by it. It's no, I who have been harmed, I'm in a place where I could talk with respect and honor. And I'm offering reconciliation to the other party. Would you like to talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, by the way, I'm not going to alter the truth. So I'm not going to say you didn't hurt me. I'm going to say you hurt me.
Right.
Here's what happened. Here's how it made me feel. Could we talk about it? And if the other party says, I would like to, let's process the truth. Oh, you know what? I understand now what you're saying. I'm so sorry. I do apologize for this. How do we make it right? And you come to a conclusion of you're reconciled.
Right.
It's dealt with. Everything's good. You forgave them. They understood it. And literally, the truth of that, by the way, is that you can now not think about it, talk about it anymore. And that's true reconciliation, which, by the way, in a couple is critical to keep doing all the time, because otherwise, and this is what happens, and I was actually pretty good at this before I learned it, because I have such a really good memory, I would bring up, well, 2 months ago you did this. And we thought we reconciled it, but I'm going to remind you that, you know, you hurt me here and this is what you did. And I use it, you know, as ammunition, because it really wasn't, and interesting enough, it wasn't reconciled for me. I never let it come to a point where it's really reconciled and I can now release it. And if you can release it, you really don't even think about it, and you don't bring it up anymore.
Right.
You don't keep, and it says in the Bible says you're stopping keeping a record of the wrongs.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting as you say that I'm reminded of, there's a verse in Hebrews, I think you'll remember the passage, that talks about, Jesus and our sins. And he says, and he remembers them no more.
Right.
And I was always bugged by that.
Hebrews 10.
Yeah. I was always bugged by that because I'm like, how can he knows everything. How can he not remember? And so I looked up the word for remembering. It's actually memnesco. And it basically translates as to choose to not use against someone.
Right.
So it's not, you know, we think of it as, okay, we have to forget. No, we're choosing to not use something against the person.
Right.
You know, out of a pure heart. Right.
Yeah. And that's when he says, your requirement is perfection. I'm choosing not to use that any longer as the criteria, mm-hmm. But there's still a criteria.
Right.
What? Well, you have to process the truth. Okay, so we've attempted to go to reconciliation, and we are an ambassador for Christ. You know, would you be willing to? And now let's find out, what do we do when people either aren't willing to do that, or they say they're willing, but they don't really process the truth? They spin mm-hmm. it to try to, you know, come back on us.
Right.
So let's go to Romans 12:9-21. Romans 12:9-21.
Says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Yeah. So the implication here is that he says, as far as is concerning you, live peaceably with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what that means is that I have a heart to move toward harmony.
Mm-hmm.
I have a heart to bring resolution with the other party, and I'm going to go through the process of make sure my heart is right with forgiveness so I can talk to
right.
them with honor and respect. I'm willing to process the truth until we get to harmony,
mm-hmm.
and they would have to understand the truth that they crossed a line of justice, they hurt me, they did something against me, the way they're approaching it isn't right, and maybe I've contributed to that, you know, in some
mm-hmm.
way. So I'm okay with that. I can talk about that and listen. Let's talk truth, and the outcome, if both sides are willing to process the truth, you'll wind up in harmony. You'll wind up
mm-hmm.
reconciled. And he said, and that's what that word means, Sarah, is as far as it's concerning you, you keep moving in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And if the other party's willing to, you'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
But don't give up on it. Don't quit on
right.
it. And don't you say, I've got a hard line here, and you'd better until, he said, well, then you're not actually doing everything you can to maintain the peace. So, and you have shalom in your heart, and you have a desire for that. But he says, in a sense, he's implying, okay, when they don't do that,
mm-hmm.
He says a couple things. Don't repay evil for evil.
mm-hmm.
Okay, now he's calling what they did to you evil.
Mm-hmm.
And they've injured you, they've wronged you, they've offended you. That's what that word means, sir.
Right.
Yep, there's an offense. But don't repay what they did with you offending them, with you injuring them, with you deciding, okay, I'm going to get you back. And by the way, it would be a unwillingness to process truth. Is that until you set it straight, I'm not even going to talk to you. Don't repay evil for evil. He said, actually, repay evil by good. And good is following God into the process. I have a heart to go, and I'm willing to go. He said, okay, so first of all, don't do that. He says, secondly, he says, get out of the way. Literally, that's what it says, is leave room for God's wrath. Okay, now think about that. He's talking about they're not willing to process the truth.
Right.
Okay, why are they going to experience God's wrath?
Because they're not willing to get in the process with what God's inviting them to, right?
Yeah, because see, justice is served. And he said the other party has left the presence of God by definition, and they're not willing to process through to a reconciliation, to a resolution. And that's why he says in the covenant, I'm going to bless you to make you a blessing. I'm going to bless those who bless you, but I'm going to curse those who curse you. And cursing you is I'm not willing to process through the truth. And by definition, he said, they're bringing on the wrath that I have because remember, if they rejected you, they're rejecting me.
Right.
And by definition, it's not that I purposely am trying to hurt them. It's that the truth of life is that if you're not walking with me, you're going to experience negative things. My justice will be served. He said, get out of the way. You don't need to process this any further. Don't rescue them. Don't accept what they're doing is right. Actually, you need to separate out and recognize that leave room for God's wrath. He said, and then he says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Right.
Okay, now a couple of important points. Vengeance is don't worry. They will experience the consequences of what they're doing. You can be assured of it. You may not see it. You may not understand it, but you can be assured of it. I used to teach with Henry Blackaby, and we talked a lot about this because it was a big deal. Always, it's a big deal. This is kind of a big deal for all believers. And and he was teaching people you can hear God's voice. He got a lot of opposition. Which we sometimes do as well. But because he was so public, he literally had people come against him. And even when he would speak it in a church scenario, because he would be speaking, you know, what we do is with small groups. What he did was big groups. He was just it was really preaching to big groups. And he'd have people come up and say, you know, Henry, I'm going to come against you because, you know, you're blaspheming. And Henry, I said, how'd you handle that? he says, one, it's not my burden. They've just stepped into the curse. I kind of feel sorry for him. He said, matter of fact, he said, my wife, Marilyn, would actually go up to them and say, before you go any further, I'm letting you know something. I really feel sorry for you. And they'd say, why? Because you've just stepped into God's curse. And it's not going to go well for you. And Henry wouldn't enter into a debate at all. He just said, well, I'm releasing that to you. And Marilyn said, I feel sorry for you. And then they talked about, because I was with both of them, they said, we saw lots of things happen to these people that were experiencing God's curse because... And it's only because they just didn't have a heart to... It wasn't that they felt that way. See, that's not the issue. It's fine. It's okay. No problem. But what they wouldn't do is say, well, could we talk about it and process? And by the way, and this happens with us on this issue of God's voice. I said, okay, I understand. Now, if you have a heart to go, reconciliation, let's go to the Word. Let's just go to the Word. I know you think differently. I'm not going to debate you. Because you could say, well, right. I think differently. It's not a debate.
But let's see what God has to say.
If you have a heart to go, let God, and then you can process it, and God will show you the truth of it. That'll be his job. And all you got to do is have a heart to go. And when people say, okay, I would, they get to, the funny thing, they get mm-hmm. to hear God's voice. If I say I don't, I'm not going to, I'm going to come against you. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get out of the way. Vengeance is not mine. I'm not going to take on that burden. God says, release it. And now for you, Rich, you're done with your part of it. Mm. I can resolve this for you because the truth is you're not going to be reconciled at the moment. Mm-hmm. You can live with that. I need you to understand you can live with it and don't take it on any further. Mm-hmm. Don't chase it down. Don't push it. Now, if they ever come back and say, and we'll talk more about this, because it said bless them. Think of the covenant. If I'm living in the curse, what is the remedy for the reverse of the curse for anybody? So if we stand, everybody stands condemned as an unbeliever. Right. What's the remedy?
Coming to Jesus.
Yeah, repentance.
Yeah.
I repent, and I see something. I'd like to process the truth. He said, when you bless those that are coming against you, he said, what you're doing is that you're praying that they repent.
Yeah, it's funny as you say that. I'm even struck by verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. I was, again, always bothered by that heap coals of fire. I'm like, that sounds really mean that you're wanting to heap coals of fire. And then I did a little digging on that. And that actually was a sign of repentance. In those days, if people were in a repentant state, they would literally take a bucket or a pail on their head and be carrying coals on that as a sign that they're walking in repentance right then.
Yeah.
And so that is, it's really talking about loving them in such a way that leads them to repentance.
Yes. And because of that, when it says, be willing to assist them, what it's saying is that if you discover that they or their family or somebody needs something because they're separated from you. In other words, don't you decide, well, I'm not going to assist them because of not being reconciled. He said, no, if they need some assistance and you have the ability to provide it, still provide it. Mm-hmm. And it kind of is interesting. It's an indicator of your heart.
Right.
Have you come to resolution about this? And it doesn't bother you now. You see where they are. They're going to be cursed. It doesn't change the curse, but you see they have a need of some kind. Mm-hmm. Well, don't be afraid to step in. If you're being there, you're right next to them, or you have the opportunity to do it. Go do it. And remember, blessing them isn't because you think about it. God says, well, they've stepped into curse. Well, you can't say I'm going to try to prevent that. God says, no, I don't want you to prevent that. So blessing them isn't preventing that.
Right.
Rather, it's blessing them. The thing that's going to bless them is repentance. Mm-hmm. So you pray for their repentance. Do you have a heart for that? And by the way, if they repented, all the curses are reversed. And then I'm going to say to them, you go reconcile with Rich. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to reconcile and forget what happened?
Right.
And God says, that's your heart. So we'll talk more about this because this is a big deal.
Yes.
Of how do we handle those that are opposing us that aren't willing to reconcile? How do we process that?
There's real hurt involved.
Real hurt. But he says, make sure you're in forgiveness. See if they're willing to go to reconciliation. If they're not, I can resolve this for you where it's not a burden anymore. Remember, I want to give you freedom.
Right.
So we'll keep talking about that. So Father, thank you for these clarity in these verses. We know that you're helping us understand something that is leading to resolution for us, even though they won't be reconciled because they aren't willing to. So reconciliation isn't the resolution. It's our heart that is free from the burden. And we just pray that we'll understand it as we go further now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, and thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have questions from today's broadcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.